All right, we're gonna go ahead and get started here. Make sure everybody's in the right room. This is DCB321, making PC recovery easier with the Microsoft Diagnostics and Recovery Toolset. My name is AJ Smith. I'm a Senior Product Marketing Manager at Microsoft on the Windows Client team. And co-presenting with me is Aaron Ruckman, Senior Program Manager on the Dart team. So today, we're gonna give you a pretty quick little overview of Dart because we did our little quick show of hands earlier today and noticed that most of you guys know what Dart is, so we'll really kind of give you a quick overview of what Dart's all about, how it can be used by, you know, enterprise customers like yourself, and then also talk a little about some of the advanced scenarios that you can actually use Dart tools with in the actual enterprise. So there's some really cool things that you can do with Dart that you may not be aware of that we want to show you today. And then also we want to talk a little bit about deploying Dart. There's multiple ways that you can deploy Dart, and I want to go through a couple of those so you guys get an idea of what are your options and what may be best depending on your situation. But hopefully, at the end of the session, you walk away with at least two things. One, that Dart actually meets the machine recovery needs of a highly productive global workforce. Dart is an extremely set of powerful tools that can be used pretty much in just about any organization and by users really anywhere in the world. And also, hopefully you'll see that the Dart tool automation that we have is pretty seamless and robust. There's some really cool things that you can do with that. And we've got a really cool demo around just one piece of the automation that you can actually do. So, let's do a quick Dart 101. Since some of you may not be 100% familiar with Dart, we'll go through some of the tools real quick and give you a general idea of what Dart's about. Before I jump into, though, the Dart features and functionality, let me explain why we built Dart. So, in most organizations that I've talked to, you guys have a really good idea of how to maintain your server and data center infrastructures. You guys have great backups, plans, and everything else. If something goes wrong there, you can get that stuff up and running really quickly. On the desktop side, lost data and files, most organizations I've talked to have zero plans, right? If something goes wrong with the PC, what do? You reimage it. Yeah, reimaging, right? It's real simple. Go up, push a button, watch the machine flatten. You rebuild the OS, the user's back up and running in an hour, two, three, whatever it is, right? Well, sometimes reimaging is not an option. You get that senior executive that says, I've got this data on my machine, what do? You can't reimage it because you're going to lose the data. So we find that recovery planning on a laptop or on a desktop machine is usually pretty few and far between. There really is no planning whatsoever. It's reimage the box. That's kind of the ultimate plan. But we know system failures do happen, right? Hardware dies, something goes wrong, the machine blue screens on boot, what do? You need to repair that machine to get the data off of it. What we also find is that the workforce has changed over the past few years. People are much more mobile. Very few people, are non-mobile anymore. We find people who still use desktops and sit in an office every day, but people want to be more mobile. They want to work at a coffee shop. They want to work at the Mandalay Bay Hotel while they're, while they're traveling or whatever else. So what we find is that as people are more mobile, it becomes even harder to actually recover their machines and actually solve problems. So what we really found at its core was that the traditional approaches to machine recovery just didn't meet the needs of a highly productive global workforce. You can't always use the reimaging process. It's not always going to be there for you. So how do I help someone who really needs, assistance in getting their PC back up and running without having to reimage the box? So if I had to boil Dart down to its core, I really just call it the ability to repair PCs on-site and remotely. I mean, when you get down to it, Dart's a great set of tools to help you do that. But when we think about it, one of the things I want you guys to kind of take away is the fact that most of you probably don't have that PC, recovery plan, right? Everything's reactive. That phone rings, you pick up the phone, user has a problem, and if it's a really bad, gnarly thing, you get a little worried. You're like, how am I going to solve this issue? So we want to help you shift desktop repair planning from a reactive thing to a proactive thing. Figure out what are the scenarios that you will see that you can use with the Dart tools so that you're not running around going, okay, how am I going to solve this problem? Because the senior VP says, I need this PC up and running. You've got 45 minutes until I go into this meeting and need to present this thing. And the data is only on my laptop. Of course, at the core of Dart, we want to help you identify a cause of a problem, repair it, and restore the user back to productivity. If you don't have to reimage a machine and cost that user an hour, 2 hours, whatever it costs you to reimage that box and get them back up and running, if you can do it in 20 minutes using the Dart tools, Great, why not do it? And the last thing we focused on with Dart, and in particular this release of it, is that the recovery image creation process, we simplified it a little bit. We made it a little bit easier to do, and also made the deployment even easier. So that's kind of Dart at a super high level. Now, when I go talk to organizations about Dart, usually one of the first things I talk about are what are the scenarios they see in their enterprise that, you know, Dart might be actually useful in. And the first one I usually uncover is unbootable PCs. How many of you have had an end user call up, you know, call you or the help desk and say, my PC is blue screened on boot and I need to get back into it for X reason? How many of you ever seen that blue screen on boot? A few, yeah, okay, quarter of the hands, right? Not an easy one to solve, because what usually happens on a blue screen? What do you usually do? What does the end user do? They don't sit at the blue screen the entire time, right? They don't wait till it gets to 100%. They just press the power button and then power it back up and hope it solves the problem. But that dump file that gets created from that blue screen is actually really important, and we'll talk about that a little bit more and how we can actually use that. But recovering unbootable PCs is a scenario that we do see in organizations. We don't see it pop up every day, but it's one of those hard things to solve when it does show up. Another thing we see is access deleted files or even repair disk partitions. Before I joined Microsoft, I used to be an IT pro. There's a phone call at least every week. I emptied the recycle bin, and I need this file out of it that I just deleted. Can you bring it back for me? And the answer is, well, was it on the server? And they go, no. I go, well, I can't, well, it's not on tape, so I can't bring it back for you there. Was it on your PC? Yeah. Sorry, you've deleted it. I can't get it back. Resetting local passwords. One of those things that we sometimes see is users take old PCs, they put them in a closet somewhere, right? Somebody new joins the team, they pull a PC out of the closet and go, hey, AJ, I need you to make this PC ready for John. Make it happen. Oh, by the way, don't re-image it, because there might be data from the previous person who's on it that we need to keep. So make sure there's no data on there before you do anything. Well, the PC's been in the closet for 6 months. I can't log in as domain admin because the domain account's been deleted, and I don't remember the local admin account password. What am I going to do? Right? I don't have many options at that point. Another scenario we see is detecting and removing malware while the actual OS is offline. So sometimes you see a PC that's acting funny. You run an AV scan, nothing comes back. But you're like, something's not right here. How do I make sure that there is no malware on this PC? Another scenario we see is donating PCs, and how do you prep them for donation? I know many of you guys are writing PCs till the wheels fall off of them, 5, 6 years, right? I mean, literally until you can't get parts for them. Sometimes, though, you have a PC that nobody can really use because it's underpowered. What we see some organizations do with those machines is they just donate them to a charity. But you need to make sure that the disk is clean before you donate them, because you don't want your data to fall into that charity's hands, whatever it is. And the last trend we also see from a scenario standpoint is you guys are all pretty much centralized in a couple locations, while your users are in branch offices, traveling, sitting at Starbucks, and troubleshooting their machines is not the easiest thing to do, because they're not on site. They're not near you.
Wait. You're saying that you guys... Is that true? How many of you have a centralized IT staff?
I'd expect like 80% of the hands here.
Well, that's exactly what we're
seeing.
Yeah,
right? And that's exactly what we see. So how do we make sure that you can easily repair PCs that are in a whole other location, right? That's another city, another state, and even another country. We want to make that really simple and easy for you. And that's where Dart comes in. So from a Dart tool standpoint, I usually talk about them in three groups. There's disk and file tools. There's administrative tools that help you, you know, basically administer a PC, and then there's recovery tools, things that help you kind of repair, you know, some really gnarly issues. So on disk and file, I will not go through all of these, but I will call out some of them. Disk wipe, in particular, is a really cool one. This allows you to basically wipe out a hard drive with one pass or four passes and make that PC ready for donation, just like the scenario I talked about earlier. Or if you just want to, you know, dispose of that PC, you could do that. Another great tool is file restore. So when that end user empties the recycle bin and then calls you a minute later and says, I deleted that file, well, with Dart, I can go in and scan the drive for those files and bring them back. I will call out, though, that this is a great tool, especially with the spinning hard drive, but with SSDs, with trim, if trim is turned on and trim starts to free up that space and overwrites it, it becomes very difficult for us to restore those files. So keep that in mind. On the administration side, you guys have probably used many of these tools. Computer management, registry editor, pretty straightforward and basic tools that you guys have used. The one tool I'll call out here is remote connection. This gives us the ability to remote connect into another Dart session. So if the user is in New York and you are here in Las Vegas, you have the ability to remote into their Dart session to fix their problem very simply and easily. You have complete control over that PC, that Dart session. You can use all the tools that you want to light up. Really simple and straightforward. So the user doesn't have to be with you in the same building or anything. You can fix that PC remotely. On the recovery side, I like all these tools. These tools are awesome. Crash Analyzer, that blue screen problem you get, let that dump file create. Then you use Crash Analyzer to analyze that file. It will actually point you in the direction of what we think caused the crash. Maybe it's a DLL. Maybe it's some video driver. Maybe it's some other problem. But we can point it out and go, you should start investigating here and start troubleshooting from that point forward. Defender, if you guys are familiar with Windows 8, we've included Windows Defender as our malware anti-malware technology inside of Windows. We've taken that same engine and put it inside of Dart. So now I can basically do an offline scan of the OS with Defender. So I boot into Dart, which is basically into a Windows recovery environment. I point it to my Windows 8 environment that I have on that drive. It scans that drive, and the malware that may be hiding from your existing AV product really can't hide when the OS isn't booted. So we have a much better rate of actually detecting malware on that machine. Locksmith, this is basically the key to the castle. It allows you to change a password to any local account on the machine. Extremely powerful tool. Do not ever let your end users have this tool, because they will have complete control over the machine. Because they'll just reset local admin password to be whatever they want, and now they can install whatever they want. Very dangerous tool, but ultra powerful for you guys. So when we talk about deployment, we'll cover this a little bit more later, and where you may not want to deploy it to, and how you want to get it out there.
Hey, AJ, does Locksmith also work with admin accounts? Like if I have a job, will it also be able to reset my admin or my domain accounts?
No. Locksmith is only for local, so we don't touch your domain accounts at all. So it's only for the local. So They you can take ownership of that machine, but you can't take ownership of the domain or anything crazy like that. So a quick question up here I heard, which was, can I do this on server and client OSs? And the answer is, yes, you can do it on both. There's a little known clause inside of the product use rights for MDOP, which states that if you actually own MDOP on the entire desktop PCs in your domain, so let's just call it domain foo, all the servers that are in domain foo, you can use Dart on. So if you've got MDOP across your Windows client domain, then you can actually use it on your servers. So you can use it on server 2012. Obviously, previous versions of Dart work on server 2008 R2 and platforms like that. The last tool I like is hotfix uninstall. Some hotfixes that you get, you install them on a machine. There's no way to remove them through the standard programs and features option. With Dart, though, I can go in and see all the hotfixes and pull ones off. So maybe I've just recently installed a hotfix, and now something's going wrong, and I want to troubleshoot and say, well, let me remove that hotfix. Maybe that's the problem. I can do that through Dart. So instead of me talking about these tools some more, what I thought would be good is that we, you know, kind of show you what this looks like. So I'm going to hand it over to Aaron to kind of show you at a high level what some of these tools can do.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming to our session today. I really appreciate the overview that AJ has given us. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to show a demo and go kind of in depth into a couple of the tools that AJ talked about right now, and then we'll go into some deeper dives into a couple of the other tools. How many of you are familiar with WinRE?
Windows Recovery Environment. Yes.
Yep.
Good.
Great.
Good show, Hans.
Perfect. Yeah. So Dart builds on top of WinRE. So when you boot into the Dart, into your WinRE image that contains Dart, you'll see this first dialog. This allows you to decide whether or not you want to have internet connectivity in your Dart image. If you're going to use remote connection, you definitely want it. If you're going to update your definitions for your Windows Defender offline, you definitely want that as well. I'm going to click yes, because I can get network connectivity here to my domain. The next thing that you'll see is the standard, oh, I want to go choose my keyboard layout. I'll choose US in this case. And I want to troubleshoot my operating system. The difference is that we have a box now for the Dart tools or Microsoft Diagnostics and Recovery tool set that you can click on. Clicking on that then shows all the operating systems that you currently have on your volume. So if you have multiple operating systems, you can choose the one that you want to go and diagnose. In this case, we're just going to choose the first one, Windows 8, which corresponds to our Dart 8 tools. Now, this is the control dashboard or the tool set that shows all the tools that you have access to. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to imagine that your legal team has come to you and said, you know, I know you've been working on a privacy document for us, and we've been working on it together, but we need to go and see all the versions that you have put into the product, and we need that for legal reasons. And you say,
Aaron, is this a real scenario that you've actually run into at this point?
No.
No.
Luckily not. But and let's just say that person, we'll call him Fred.
Fred, sure, Fred.
Fred, he happened to, not put them on SharePoint for whatever reason. And instead, they were sitting on his local box. And he figured that he didn't need them anymore, so he deleted them. And because he sent them the latest version, of course, but they needed all of them. So what do you do in that case? Dart has a tool called File Restore, which allows you to recover deleted files. So what I can do is I can go into the file, into the folder. And Fred was, I don't know why he deleted these files. I mean, they're in these important docs. Please don't delete them. And now you can actually go and search for docx's Word files. And we'll just let this go. This will take a minute or two to go and search. We'll move it down a little bit so we can do some other things as well. The next tool, is that a question? No. Yes, it is a question? Oh, we can take them now if you'd like. The question is, does this work on a shared drive? Do you mean like a volume that you've mounted inside of your OS? The volume has to be attached in order to find them, I believe.
Yeah. So yeah, you'd have to have the drive attached. So you'd have to have network connectivity, attach it, and then be able to scan it remotely. So
right.
If you can attach the drive, you should be able to do that. So
the question was, can you use these tools on older OSs? The supported official Microsoft support is that you need to use the same Dart that's supported on the OS.
So for example, Dart 8 supports Windows 8. Dart 7 supports Windows 7. So there are various versions of Dart that come with MDOP. So you need to match up the Dart version that you need to with the OS you're going to use. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Are you able to use tools on a BitLocker encrypted drive?
The question was, can you use the tools on a BitLocker encrypted drive? When you launch into the WinRE, WinRE will prompt you for your
recovery key. Yep.
Entering the recovery key will then allow you to go in and use the tools on an encrypted drive.
Can you use both key file and number sequence keys, or do you have to use just one or the other?
It tells you which one you need.
It's the standard recovery key that you back up to AD. So. Okay. So what are the tools?
Let's see. That is still chugging along. The next thing that we're going to show, AJ talked about disk wipe. So what happens if you want to give your machine to charity, but you have all of your corporate information on that box, and you really want to make sure that it's gone and it's not going to be able to come back. So we have the ability to do a single pass, which just goes into every single bit on the hard drive and zeros them out. Or we have a four-pass option, which goes and will do four different types of zeroing out algorithms, which is comparable for the U.S. Department of Defense standard that we...
5220.22-M. Yeah. Fairly technical. Yeah.
That one. So, and that really helped. It takes a long time to do, so we're not going to spend time doing it, but it works reasonably well. So fine. The next, yes.
Can you script or automate some of these things?
We are going to show an example of some things that you can script or automate a little bit later. Some you can, some we just haven't, we have not yet provided that capability for it yet. So our file restore now has worked, and as you can see,
I can go back and get, let's maximize this, and let's look at my files. So you see I have about 100 files here, and if I go and say, okay, what is it likely, so the recoverability of the file also is shown to me, so all these files are likely that they can be recovered. If you had partial files or memory that covered them, they would probably not show likely, they'd show unlikely, and or partial. And so I can go and grab a couple of these, and I can copy them to my folder. I'm going to recopy them back to the important docs again. And now that that's done, I can go back to my Explorer. I probably should have shown first that they weren't there, but you can see that they're not all there. We just have a couple, and there they are. So we were able to recover them, and we're able to see them through the File Explorer that you get with Dart. If you go back, now when you reboot back into the main image, they'll be there as well. Great, so let's move on to the next one. So I have a friend in Peter. Peter is a buddy of mine who works out of my LA office. And this morning his machine crashed. And he doesn't know why, blue screen, and he's like, ah, I can't believe this happened to me. I've got an important presentation tomorrow. I need to be able to have a stable machine. And this is my box. I have to know what's going on. So what he has done is that he sent me his dump file. Now, a dump file is just the state of the machine at the time of a crash, and they're pretty big. It can be anywhere from 500 megabytes up to a couple of gigabytes. But they really do show the full state of the machine, and so what we're able to do is that we're able to use a tool called Crash Analyzer to go in and take that memory file, examine it, and then give you a direction for what to do next, as AJ talked about earlier. One of the things that you need is you need to get the debugging environment onto your box. So in order to get this to work, you need to have the Dart tools installed, and you also need to install this special debugger, ADK. There's a forward link here which shows you how to get it. It's free, and you just install it. It'll automatically pick up the location for it if it's installed. And then I've already downloaded the symbols. And so you can either go off and say, oh, I'm going to just, this is a new issue. You typically want to just say, I want to download the symbols as I need them. It'll download them to the directory. You can delete them afterwards. You can also save those symbols off into your image, into your Dart image, to run it, the crash analyzer, also within the image. So now I'm going to go and figure out where my dump file is. This is where I put his dump file. And now I'm going to go. So what's happening now is I'm launching the analysis engine. It's extracting out the memory dump. It's then taking and using the symbols that it's either downloaded or used, examining those, and figuring out what is the issue. Now, I've determined that the issue is probably in an NVIDIA driver. So I tell him, you know, Peter, what you need to do is go get the latest NVIDIA drivers and go figure out if that's actually going to work for you. So he goes off, he downloads the NVIDIA drivers, and it works for a while, and then it crashes again. Well, hopefully that won't happen, but in this case, it did. And so now I say, okay, well, I need your help. Let's go ahead and figure out what's actually happening here. So we go in through, now we're going to go and we're going to use another tool called search. So within Dart, you can actually search for a file name or files. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to browse to about the location where it is. So if we look back at this location, we know it's somewhere in our System32 drivers, and this is the file that I want to go find. So I'm going to go back into my Dart image. I'm going to browse to that folder.
So while you're looking for that, let me call out one thing real quick. You saw Aaron run Crash Analyzer in a standard OS. You didn't see him run it through the Dart UI. You can run it both ways. So when you install the Dart Wizard tool to create the actual image, you get Crash Analyzer as a standalone tool. So in the scenario that he gave was, I could take somebody else's dump file and then, you know, actually analyze it on my own machine. You could also run it through Dart. So if the machine just crashed, you have the dump file on the box, you boot into Dart, you can use the crash analyzer option in there and run the exact same tool. We just give you different ways of actually running it. So. It'll analyze basically any standard DMP file or even a mini dump file. So, so depending on how the dump file gets created, we don't really care. But good question. I should repeat that: does it actually scan user created dump files?
Well, that's still going on. So, go ahead.
So the question is, if you do not have access to MDOP, is there another way to get access to the tools like Dart? The answer is, if you do not own MDOP, then obviously the only other way you can get it is through TechNet or MSDN subscriptions. And those are only for dev and test purposes only. So they cannot be used in a production environment. So you must have MDOP to get the Diagnostics and Recovery toolset, which, for those of you who are not familiar with it, is a subscription product that requires software assurance under Windows Client.
Go ahead. Back there in the black.
So the question was, what is the best practices to deploying the tools? And I will say, let's hold that question a little bit later, because I actually have a whole section on deployment that I will cover.
So WinRE is built on top of WinPE. Yeah. It's a derivative. Correct. Yeah. I'll actually go through that. So hold that question. We'll show that a little bit more in depth. Okay. So we've gone through some tools. We've shown file restore. We've shown disk wipe. We've shown the crash analyzer and the file explorer, as well as the file search capabilities. All of this done without having to log into the box and being able to diagnose a crash or issues that you have. We're going to switch gears now a little bit, and we're going to talk about, we need to switch back here. There we go.
Sorry? Oh, no, we just showed that we could find the driver. So when you do the scan, you can say, oh, well, here's actually where it all is, and I could do a replacement if I wanted to. So.
Or you can copy it off to your network and then give it off to NVIDIA or say, here's the actual thing mm-hmm. that's happening. Yeah. Great. So we're going to go into depth now into remote connection. And to do so, I need your help. So I want you all to imagine that you are Josefina, and you work for a company called Contoso Enterprise. And you're an IT pro. So that means maybe you already do this. So maybe it's not too much of a stretch. But you're Josefina, and your org has been on a cost-cutting spree. And your management has told you, you need to go and repurpose about 1,000 machines because we don't have budget to go buy new machines. These machines are scattered throughout your enterprise. They're sitting underneath desktops or turned on. And you need to be able to go and figure out, how do I go and repurpose these machines? Some of these machines you might not have touched for months. And so the admin password is gone. And you've replaced it, you've updated the admin password 5 or 6 times in that time. And so now you need to be able to go back to those machines and really get the data off and be able to get them available and ready to go for your users that are coming on board. The other thing that they want to make sure that you don't lose any of the important data that might be on the machine and be able to grab the data off or be able to just get the machine ready to go without losing the data. So how can we do this? Well, because machines are turned on, we can use remote connection to make this happen. Now, remote connection is a handshake between your machine that has the Dart tools enabled with a remote connection viewer and your Dart image, which is booted into that image that you can then go and start using the tools on that box to administrate. It's like remote assistance, only not having to be booted into a full version of Windows. So the things to keep in mind here is that this is what you'll see when you create your Dart image. This is one of the windows in the Dart creation image creation wizard. And the first thing you need to do is you need to make sure that you allow remote connections inside the image. The second thing that you do is that you can let Windows decide to have a random port, or if you have a proxy server that has only certain ports open and available between you and your Dart image, then you can specify the port here. You can also put in any message you want. For example, you can say, please, I am the help desk admin. I am administering your box. Please wait or contact us. And then that way the user has some idea of knowing what's going on if he comes into his machine is locked for some reason. Move on. The key parts for setting up this handshake are we create a random ticket number every time
that we that every time you launch remote connection from the Dart image, we allow you to configure which IP address you want to use. We support various numbers. If you have multiple NIC cards, we'll show all the IP addresses that it can find. And then it shows the port. On your machine where the Dart image is installed, you want to make sure that you put in the ticket number, you put in the appropriate IP address, and you put in the appropriate port. As long as the machine can see each other through the various TCP/IP protocols, you'll be good to go. Yes? Yes, go ahead.
So if you're going to be off the client, if this up and running before you can connect
in? That's correct. You have to be booted into the Dart image before you can connect to it, because you need to have the ticket number and the application running. There are ways to automate that. We'll show one way in a couple of minutes for how can you kick off that via configuration manager, but we're going to use a slightly different scenario than remote connection. Let me show you how this works. So we'll pretend that we are on the box. Thank you. And one of the tools we're going to talk about now is the remote connection. So I click it, and welcome to the MMS conference. Well, that was for you. But you can put any message you want there. Then you say, okay, now I'm all set. So as you can see, I have several IP addresses. I'm going to choose the one for my internal access, the one that my machine has access to. I've booted up the remote connection viewer. It comes up like that for default. You have this other dialog. All you have to do is say connect. That will bring you in here. You just type in the password 467195.
Type in the ticket number.
Ticket
not
number,
password.
Not
yep.
Password. Thank you. Then I'm going to type in the IP address. Okay. Now I've put in my port, and then I say connect. And voila. Now the user has no access or no ability to change anything now because we've locked him out. And you as the administrator can now go in and you can interact with your console. One of the things you'll notice is that Locksmith was turned off beforehand because we turned that off when we created the image. We didn't want to have every user have Locksmith. But now that you as the IT admin are in the box, you want to have full control over all the tools because you don't know what tool you might need. So we allow people, well, then we turn that on, now you can use Locksmith. Locksmith is a really great way. So now, getting back to our scenario, you're Josefina, remember? So you're now on the box, and you're able to go see all the admin, all the local accounts. I'm going to change the guest account to be a different password. Remember that we want you to go and probably change the password and change it again if you so desire. The password gets changed at the time when you reboot the machine. And the password needs to conform to your policies for passwords. And then all you do is you say finish, and the next time when you reboot, your password will be changed. That simple. And then when you're done, you can also use other tools as well. Let's say you want to go and see, well, is there any data on there? You can use search tool that we've already just showed you to go search for any files, spreadsheets, you know, data that might be there, and pull it off or clean it up or do whatever you need to do. You can also browse for things as well. Mm-hmm. If you need to, you can also use the computer management tool as well to go in and see your disks. Let's say that, well, this machine actually has a partition that we wanted to delete, or we want to create a format the data because we really want to make sure that it's just clean because they don't need to have that anymore. You can do that through your computer management console as well.
So the question was, is the session visible to the end user that you're remoting into? The answer is yes. They will see what you are doing, but they have no control over the keyboard and mouse, so they can't drive anything. They are completely locked out. Yeah. So yeah, you are booted into the recovery environment. So the question was, you know, could you manipulate files that you may not supposedly have access to? You are booting into Windows RE, so you have access to the C drive of this box, and you can do whatever you want. So again, Dart is a very powerful set of tools. You want to limit who has access to this stuff, so keep that in mind. So the question was, how is it deployed in a way, which we'll talk about. There's the multiple deployment options a little bit later. So gentleman in the white polo shirt in the aisle there. So the question is, if I know that there's a service that has a problem, how do I disable the service? Well, here's the list of services on the machine. Once it loads.
You can pick the one that you know. You can go in and say, I'm going to go get the properties of it, and then you can turn it off. Via here, you can disable it. You can go and see what the login is type. Maybe the password is wrong. Maybe you can go do other things. You can look at the dependency, so you do have ways of doing that.
Yep. Gentleman in the far left corner here. So the question is delegation, and I think what you would end up saying is when you deploy Dart, which tools do you want enabled for the help desk and how they, through that deployment mechanism, right? So however you want to deploy those tools, we'll talk about the options later. You can enable certain tools through certain methods, and then maybe the remote connection lights up more of them. So we can give you, we have some options there. Let me take the lady in the aisle right there. So security concerns, that's the only part I heard, so.
Security, so her question was, for security concerns, how do you limit who gets the lock, who gets the remote connection functionality? Oops. So how we do it is, We do use. Can I talk about that? How we the how?
Sure.
So we are using secure RDP. We're using the same protocols as RDP does to make that connection happen. So it's the exact same code. Yes.
But the tool is, again, if you have access to the Dart image that has remote control and everything else in it, you can do that. I mean, it's still because all I need is the ticket number, the IP address, and the actual port number of the machine to remote into a box, right? You need the ticket number somehow, right? So you either have to be in front of the machine or you have to automate grabbing the ticket information and all that other information and somehow get it to me so that I can remote into it. So inherently, there is no AD access that says, Aaron's not allowed to do this, but I am. It is still based on that, the ticket number and all that other stuff. If I have that, I know what I'm doing. I can get in.
And also, the access for actually enabling this is turned off by default when you create your image. You actually have to go and tell the Dart image that you want to enable remote connections. So you can deploy an image for your help desk admins who might need this, and you might have a more generic version that's more globally, which doesn't have locksmith and has this turned off, if that's the way you want to do it. We'll take two more questions, and we can probably.
Yeah, the gentleman right there in the green, I think, in the striped shirt. So the question is, if the port is blocked, how do you get through? And the answer is, you don't. But I mean, correct. So if you have a private IP address or something that's not routable, there's no way I can get to it, right? It's still standard rules of networking. If I can't get to you, there's no way I can remote into your box. It's because you have a private IP address, we're blocking ports or whatever else. So there's nothing we can do on that end of it. If the IP is routable and we can get to you, we can remote into that machine, assuming that port is open, that your firewall's not blocking it. So
there's not a listener service that can turn this process around?
No, not that I'm aware of. So the question is, can your deployment method determine what tools can actually be enabled? The answer is yes. So depending on your deployment method, you may want to disable some of the tools or disable all of them except for remote connection, where remote connection could turn everything on. Right? So we'll get to that in a little bit. And I know we've got a lot more to show you guys, and we want to show you some of the automation stuff quick. So we'll probably just hold some questions until the end at this point so we can kind of get through some of the content here. So all right.
So we've shown you what remote connection can do now. And Josefina was so successful in making these machines become repurposed that she was able to do it in record time. Dart made it so that way they didn't have to go off and buy new machines, and management was super happy that they saved a ton of money in time and in hardware. And so what happens when you're super successful in IT? They give you more work, don't they?
Great job. Here's some more work. Here's a gnarly problem to figure out. So what is the next gnarly problem that she's got to work on?
The next gnarly problem that she has to work on is her management has really kind of seen the trend when they've done spot checks to say, you know what, our network is seeing some spotty malware and viruses come into our systems. We're not quite sure how it happened, but we want to get rid of them. And we want to be able to assure that our machines are clean. And so they also want to do it on a regular basis because they've realized that this is something that they need to go and do some additional look in and be able to troubleshoot. They want to get reports back to know where are the infected boxes, and let's go do some additional diagnosis there. Let's make sure that we're trending better over time to make sure that this problem goes away and that we've got it under control. So how can she figure this out? Dart has a solution. You can create a Dart image on a regular basis, automating it, that will contain the latest WDDO definitions. You can then deploy that out to your network and cause Dart to kick off in an automated fashion. We recommend, there's lots of different ways you can do it. Our recommendation, what we're going to show today, is the Configuration Manager solution. The key to that, of course, is this line. And we'll get into that, but remember, that's a key line for how to automate this. Then you need to be able to take those log files, pull them back, and generate a report. We're going to show you how to do that. So the first thing you're going to do on your box is you're going to install Dart. How many of you installed products before?
Oh, yeah. How many can install an MSI? Yeah, I'm guessing all of you.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward. We're going to bypass how that works today, and we're going to go right into the key things you need to understand, like, you know, so you can do this in a really great and easy way. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to launch what's called the Recovery Image Wizard. We showed you one of the dialog screenshots before. We're going to go through it a little bit deeper this time. And the key thing that you can do, if you notice, is that you can turn on and off tools. So this is a screen where you can turn on and off tools. This is where you would turn off your locksmith. This is where you turn off the tools that you didn't want people to have. There's your locksmith tool. Your Defender is the key that you need to make sure you have enabled. So you could go ahead and turn all of these off, except for Defender. The next thing that you're going to want to do is go into the advanced options and make sure that you download the latest definitions. This is actually the default in our current release. And then the final thing that you're going to want to do is then create the WIM. And so here you can say, I want to create this into a WIM. That's the key. You can also create an ISO. You can also go in and edit the image. So what this does, edit image, will then allow you to go in and put the image into an audit mode. Then it'll mount the image into a file share. We will then launch, as soon as you say prepare, we'll launch a file explorer, which you can then go and add files, modify files, remove files from the image, and make it, customize it just to be the right thing for your needs.
All right, so hold on here. So if I'm an IT pro, I got to click through all this stuff. And if I want to run this thing weekly, I want to have the latest definitions. So at a bare minimum, I've got to like click next, 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 and do a bunch of clicking every week. It's basically what you're telling me, Aaron.
That's awesome. Right?
No, hold on.
You guys think that's an effective use of your time to click every single week, right? Yeah.
No. This is automation. This is automation, right? So, Aaron, please tell me we can at least automate this a bit so that you don't have to click next, next, next a bunch of times every week.
All right. Well, since they really need something better, we actually have created PowerShell script. What creates the image is a PowerShell script. And the very first time when you run this or subsequent times, we actually have this checkbox, which is create the PowerShell script. Now, we're using the exact same PowerShell script that we're creating for your usage as we use to create the image ourselves. Let me show you what that looks like. So this is what the PowerShell script does that we're going to give you. It does a lot of cool things. The key things that I want you to get away, take out of this, though, is that the options you choose in the to create the PowerShell script are persisted. And so if you choose, I want to update my WDO definitions, then every time you run that PowerShell script, you'll get the same, you'll get updated definitions for the latest definitions that are available. The other thing I want you to take away from this is that you can go into that PowerShell script. We have a section or two, and you can go and customize, add your own customizations, add your own drivers. Let's say that during the image creation, we allow you also to update your drivers. But let's say that 6 months from now, a couple weeks from now, you get a driver that needs to be put into the image. You don't have to go and recreate your PowerShell script. You can actually go into the PowerShell script and add a line to that to make that happen. These are the command lists that we support. I'm going to allow you to see these in the video. These are the automation that we have in our PowerShell scripting. These are pretty cool. These will be in the video, and if you want to come back and refer to them, that'd be great. So now we've got our image. We've got it creating in a weekly manner, and now I need to be able to deploy it to my enterprise. So what we're going to talk, first thing that you need to do inside of your CM environment is import the Dart image on a weekly basis as a boot image. What you can do is you can set this up once, then you update the boot image, and inside of the boot image, you can say, I want to refresh whatever image I have from my cache on a weekly basis. It'll then push out the image, and you're good to go. Then we'll build a task sequence, and we'll talk about that in more detail. The key again, that's your key to do this quick scan of your WDO on a weekly basis. Finally, we want to make sure that it's deployed into our test environment. We're going to test the heck out of it. Then we're going to roll it out to our customers. One thing just to keep in mind is that you probably want, when you set this up, is to set it up in such a way that you set offsets if you have a big environment so that way you're not maxing out your bandwidth across your CM. So, just make sure that you don't have everything kicking off at the same time on Sunday night at 3 a.m. Give it a little bit of an offset there not to overload your network. Now, we've got our CM ready, and now we need to be able to tell our management team what we've been doing. So the first thing we're going to do is that after we do our scan, WDO automatically creates an MP detections file at this location. You can take that file, you can then collect all those files into your central location using a file copy onto whatever you want to do inside of your task sequence. I'll show you. I just did it via the copy script. Then you can go and search in these files for detection or detect. That'll tell you what the issue was, and the next line, if it was fixed, will have a fixed line as well. So in this case, we know that the product of WDO is this version, the engine is this version, and the virus definitions are these. And then I know I detected a virus. It was the DOS Iker test file. And now I can go and say, oh, this is actually in X number of machines. I can put that report up, and then I can go and do a deeper dive into those machines and figure out how did my virus get there, who caused it, how can I shut this thing down. So, in summary, we're able to Josephina, you, right?
You are Josephina.
You are able to correct and make your management happy because you're able to go off and create an image on a weekly basis. You're able to push it out to your enterprise in a way that's not going to impact your customers. And you're able to get reports and be able to generate the data weekly to ensure that this problem is getting solved in a good way.
All right, let's talk. More demo. How does this actually work? Oops. First, you gotta unlock the box.
Gotta unlock the box.
There we go.
All right, let me close down this guy. This one. Okay, so imagine that we're on a cooking show, and like every good cooking show, you will show the results of what you've done, and then I'm gonna show you exactly what we did to make this happen. So to stage this is a client machine. Imagine that it was kicked off at 3 a.m. and my CM organization it's copied down the image, it's staged the image, and now it's about ready to reboot into WinPE. Oh, it's now telling me I must be rebooting. I can restart it now, which I will do.
And then we will just let this sit off to the side while we go and figure out, how did I make this magic happen? So the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to show you. First thing that we have to do is we have to go and create the image. So this is the image creation tool. Yep. And I'm just created my image. I've given it an image. Here are all the tools I want to give it. I'm going to deselect all the tools except for, let's do it a faster way, except for Defender. So that way I make this particular image targeted exactly for this work. I'm not going to allow remote connections because this is not what that purpose is for. I'm going to make sure that I have Defender. Its default is the recommended options. I can go in and add additional WinPE or drivers if I want to. In this case, I'm not going to. And I'm going to now go into this image and do all these things. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say prepare. Now, this takes a minute, so I've actually pre-staged this. This is results of hitting prepare. And now I can open up my image. So this is my image stored off of local temp. And you can see that I can go in and look at the boots. I can go into change files, add drivers, add scripts that I want to use to automation, for automation. And then when I'm ready, I just say create. It'll then create, lock the image, unmount it, and move forward. Now, I want to show you, this is an example of the PowerShell script that we used to create the image for the client that we just used. So you can see we're importing DISM and our own proprietary module. Over on the right, you'll notice that we have the four commandlets, and these are the properties that you have. So for example, if we go through these, what we're doing is that we're exporting the image. We have a new Dart configuration, which allows us to define the settings for what we want to do. This is where you would say, I want to add the WDO or the add Defender. So this will make sure that we have Defender's settings updated every single week. You'll notice that down here in the new Dart configuration, with this particular instance, I just added all the tools, included remote assistance. Yay, welcome to the MMS conference. And then we're off to the races. And then, of course, then we set the image, we save the image, we unmount the image. Can we ask to save the questions until the end? Would that be all right? Thank you. Then, now that we have the image created, and as you can see over here, it's rebooted itself into the WinRE image. It's then launched the WDO process, and now it's scanning the drive for any issues. As we come back, we'll go to my CM image. I've downloaded the image now that I've created into my storage location, and now I'm ready to import this image into my CM framework. So what I've done is to do this, you click Add Boot Image, and that steps you through a list of steps, a wizard. The key things that you need to take away from this are your data source. It defaults to the first one, which is your PE image. You want to ensure that it's number two. This is the image, this is the Dart image that will launch, that will be executable. That's the secret sauce that you have to know. And that's pretty much it for this. You can also go in and give it a name and a version, so every time when you update it, you can say, oh, I know which image it is, and then it has drivers you can add, customization, distribution settings. All right, so we're going to be good there. The next thing that you need to do is you need to set up your task sequence. Now, your task sequence, I'll just look at the properties for this guy. The first thing that you need to do is when you create your new task sequence, it'll take you through a wizard again. You'll be able to step through it. I'm going to show you just a couple key points for what you need to remember to get right inside of that wizard. The first one is you need to click here because this will not be created by the wizard. You go into this afterwards and say use a boot image. And then you browse to your image, in this case, the one we just created, and you say OK. And then that's how it knows to use a task sequence and boot into a boot image. That's what you're going to use. Again, we also need to make sure that the operating system set is correct for the boot, for the Dart tools we're using. In this case, it's Windows 8 x64-bit, which is what we've done. Then
We go into the edit it. So this is all the tasks we do. We have a task to disable BitLocker before we go into the image. So we just disable it temporarily as part of this. Then we'll restart, which is what you saw it doing. Now it's running, currently running over here. You can see that it's running the Defender scan. And in here is that secret sauce exe command line parameter auto scan. That's how you can make it work. Then you gather the Defender logs. I use Robocopy in this case. You can have a script there that you put onto the image, or you can use Xcopy or whatever copy tool you'd like to, and you just make sure that it's copying it to a central location that's there. Then you can go and return to your computer, so it tells it to return. On both the restart, and you'll notice the difference here, is that the first one is that we're booting into the image that we've assigned to this task sequence, and the second one is we boot back to the other image, so the user will never know that he was booted into something different. And then we have a customization message that we have. And then finally, last thing we do is we enable BitLocker or BitLocker before we go off of it. So, let's see.
That's basically it. If you configured CM, the files would copy to the share. You would look at the files basically in the share that you've got the reports on, probably automate that a little bit. Yep. That's about it, right?
That's it. So the bottom line is that Josefina now, she goes back to her management team, and they're super impressed and super excited because what they were able to do is they were able to figure out that there was one place in their infrastructure which really needed to be adjusted, and they were able to pinpoint that using this automation. And they're also super excited because from now on, they know that their enterprise is now protected from malware and malicious scans because they're doing this on a regular basis, and they're not having relatively zero client impact, and so their productivity is not being impacted by that, so they're super excited about this.
All right.
All right.
Let's jump back to slides. All right, so let's cover deploying the Dart image. So we've talked a lot about setting it all up, we've used CM, we showed you one way to do it, but let me break it down a little bit and kind of go through all the options that you basically have. The first is an oldie but a goodie, CD and DVD. Dart originally always had the ability to say, well, you can put the Dart image on a CD or DVD drive or on a disk and drop it into a drive and boot from the CD or DVD. Works really well, you know, real simple and easy to do. But let me ask you this. How many machines do you buy today that have CD and DVD drives in them by default? I'm guessing not a lot, especially laptops, right? So I see a lot of heads nodding, yes. Okay. So the other way you can do it is USB, right? Pretty much every machine that comes out these days has a USB port, so we could put the Dart image directly onto a USB drive. In previous versions of Dart, if you used them, you had to use a third-party tool to take the actual Dart image you created and drop it onto a USB stick. In Dart 8, that is now done for you automatically. You just say, I want to create a USB stick, put the stick in the machine, it'll take that image and drop it to that USB stick, handling all the work for you. So now, so the question I heard was USB 3 drivers. I'm not sure if there's USB 3 drivers in PE or anything like that. You could always include your own drivers in your Dart image, so whatever you'd like to do. So I can use USB, but we're also thinking about, well, wait a minute. What if you can't have physical access to the user's machine? I can't use a CD or a USB stick anyway, right? So what are my other options? Network boot. As you kind of saw earlier, when the options of how do I build out my actual Dart image, there's an option to create a WIM file. Well, I can take that WIM file, put it on a WDS server, and I can pixie boot into Dart. Right? So basically, if the end user is in another office somewhere else, they call up the help desk, you can walk them through the fact that you can say, okay, press F12, you know, reboot your machine, press F12, walk through that process, and then get them to the point where they can just enable remote connection, and you can remote control the machine. Real simple and easy way to do this. Now, if you do network boot, you probably do not want to enable Locksmith. Because if your end user is smart enough to know how to pixie boot their machine, and you enable Locksmith, they're going to be able to do what we don't want them to do, which is reset the local admin password. So different deployment methods require different tools that you may want to enable or disable. You can enable Locksmith maybe on a USB stick where that, you know, you're going to carry it around with you. But on network boot, you disable it so that only maybe a remote connection enables Locksmith. So let's say you've got network boot as an option, but what if the user's not on your network? What if they're at a hotel? What if they're at a Starbucks somewhere? What's your options? Well, local install. You can use CM, or you can actually bake this as part of your image through MDT and actually deploy a Windows RE partition on the box. And you put the Dart tools there so that the end user can actually go in, if they have a problem in their remote, you know, boot into that to that recovery image, and you can walk them through that process and enable remote connection and remote control that PC from there. So you basically have four different options that you can actually use to deploy Dart. You've got the first two are physical, you know, when you have physical access to the box. Network boot, great for when you're on, you know, when they're on-premise and they're on your network. Local install, if you know they're a completely mobile user, don't really phone in, you know, very often or anything like that, aren't connected. And what we usually see is that most organizations do a multitude of these. They'll do like USB for the IT guys, like the tier 3 guys who, or the desk side support guys who need to walk around and get physical access to that box. They'll do network boot so that more people have access to it, you're really simply and easily, so that if you are in another city or another country, you can actually get access to those tools and you don't need physical access to that machine. And we do see some organizations doing local install because you've got that senior executive who, you know, goes to meetings and is never really in the office all that often, or a salesperson, and you want the Dart tools on that box. So think about which tools you'd want to enable in which scenarios. Physical access ones, we would assume IT's holding onto it. You maybe open up a few more things. Network boot, local install, maybe you disable a lot of the tools, or disable all of them but remote connection, so that they actually have to call you so that you can remote in and then and do whatever you want to do to actually fix the problem. So where can you learn more about deployment options, the Dart tools in general? Well, there's a couple places. First, there's a TechNet forum that we've set up in the past few weeks that you can use to ask questions, you know, and also get some more information around Dart in general. Springboard, which is the TechNet side of Windows, has an entire page dedicated to Dart. We've got a multitude of videos that kind of go through many of the tools. There's even a deployment guide, which I have a link here on this slide, which goes into even more detail of how to actually set up and deploy the Dart image. So you've got multiple options that I kind of went through. It goes into much more detail of actually how to set it up in step-by-step detail. Now, if you're in a Dart session, odds are you're probably interested in MDOP in general. There are many more MDOP sessions this week. There's one later on today, and then two on Wednesday and two on Thursday. So if you want to learn more about MBAM, User Experience Virtualization, AppV, products like that, definitely check out these sessions later on this week. So hopefully, we've kind of walked you through the idea where that Dart can really help meet a lot of machine recovery needs in your guys' organizations. And you can do some automation with it, as Aaron showed you. You can automate WDO. You can even automate some of the remote control stuff. So remote control is pretty much fully automatable, too, because you can take the ticket information, which gets generated in an XML file, and take that and copy it somewhere else. So the user doesn't even need to be in front of the machine if you need to remote control a box. But the CM piece that he showed you is like the first step in actually doing a lot of that automation. So, and, of course, evaluations. I know you guys have probably seen the slide, but we really appreciate your feedback. We want to know how we can improve, make the sessions even better. And then, of course, the session itself is recorded. So if you guys want to listen to it again, share it with other people, check out Channel 9. The recordings will be posted there in the near future. And that is it. We'll do some Q&A. And also, if you have surveys, feel free to bring them up that you filled out for us. We would really appreciate it. We'd love to have that information to make sure that we can improve MDOP even more. So if you have any questions, feel free to step up to a mic so we can actually get them on the recording. And thanks for the time, and have a great day.
Thank you.